the intro video just before the start. Hello, that was all a lot of good fun, wasn't it? So welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast. Apologies for the craziness of the video there. My laptop is slowly on its last legs. Has done an update and it just doesn't want to work all the time. That's the problem. So welcome to the Franchise Tag. Welcome to Andrew, Johnny and Adam, back as ever. And we are sort of at the end now of free agency. It feels like it's slowed down in the last few days. There's still a few things going on out there, though, that we're going to chat about tonight. A lot of fun topics. And I mean, it's not over yet, all this free agency stuff. And of course, then it is the big lead in to the draft, which will be a lot of fun as well. But the biggest, well, the, one of the big things we're going to start off, begin with this evening, is the retirement of Aaron Donald, defensive tackle for the LA Rams and St. Louis Rams in his career. It came as a bit of a shock. I mean, 8-time Pro Bowl after 10 seasons. Has now retired, obviously Super Bowl winner as well. I'm trying to get his accolades all up. He retires as the Rams all-time sack leader at 111 sacks. Only one of three players to earn three Defensive Player of the Year awards. I mean, definitely a Hall of Famer. I think he's reached the Pro Bowl in, where was it? Walks away 10 Pro Bowl selections, 8 first team All-Pro honors, 3 AP Defensive Player of the Year nods, a Super Bowl ring, and a place on the football Pro Football Hall of Fame All-Decade Team of the 2010s. 10 years, Andrew, of Aaron Donald just wrecking offensive linemen all over the place. The best to ever do it?
Yeah, I think you could probably say the best to ever do it. I think you can also put him in the conversation now he's retired of the top 5 defenders of all times. I think you're going to be talking about him along with Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White and maybe Ray Lewis and people like that, Deion Sanders. I think he's going to be in that conversation with them now. And not only is he the best at his position, but he also revolutionized the position for the new modern era of the NFL. He's just worked absolute wonders at that. And I think he's also finished for someone in their first 10 seasons at his position, I think he now ranks first in every single stat that's possible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what a fantastic player. And as I said, revolutionised the position going forward. And we're going to see loads of people trying to replicate his style and the way that he does that defensive line.
Yeah, I think he's only ever missed 8 games in his career, I felt like I read somewhere. Like, so he's been so good at keeping fit. I mean, like we said, he's coming off 111 sacks for his career, best season of 2018, 20.5 sacks. Fumble returns 7, forced fumbles 24, passes defended 21, combined tackles 543, 260 QB hits, and one safety in there as well. A wrecking ball on that line, Johnny. A lot of offensive linemen are going to be waking up now. Well, not now, because it did happen a couple of days ago, but they're going to be woken up that morning feeling quite thankful that they're not going to come up against him now.
Yeah, I think he's been one of the most consistent, freakish-like athletes that we've seen in the NFL over the last 10 years or so. I think, you know, obviously he's coming off, you know, what statistically looks like, you know, a couple of down years for him, but I think he's been able to play and, you know, his athletic ability to be able to, you know, maintain himself at such a high level, I think is tremendous. You know, every time I think we've seen over the last couple of years, he's still continuously splitting double teams. He's able to, you know, move almost like a hawk, I suppose, in, you know, how he gets around and gets the quarterback. I think he's someone I don't think the NFL is going to see you know, too much more of a style of player again. I mean, you know, we have a lot of like freakish athletes like Nick Bosa, but I think they're just the mold of Aaron Donald. How like dense and, you know, how destructive he is. He's just such a unique player, and by and large, one of, if not the greatest defensive player of all time.
And I mean, he's walking away from a little bit of money, to be fair. His contract isn't up yet. And a lot of players at his age, when they feel like they're regressing, they move teams. Well, I mean, he's been on one team. I know they've relocated, but it has been the same team for his whole career. Why do you think he has walked away at this moment?
I mean, he doesn't really need the money, does he? I imagine he's hurt himself more than enough over the years. He's done pretty well. I think he's probably knackered. You know, if you're playing that position for 10 years, that's a hell of a job to do, isn't it? And, you know, he had them during their peak when they were all in. They're still a good team. They look like a team that could do something this year. And obviously losing him is something that's going to really affect them, I would have thought. But I would have thought he's probably just had enough. He's probably just done his time, I would have thought, and probably wants to do something else with his life.
Well, we'll get to that point, I suppose, in all of our lives. And we wish Aaron Donald good luck in the future as well. It may be a lot of these players these days are now going into punditry and stuff like that. It could be something that he gets into. So hopefully we will see him on our screens again very soon. We'll move on to the biggest news of the week. I mean, for me, in the Steelers world anyway, or maybe in the NFL world as well. Do you think that's fair? And that was Justin Fields, the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, getting traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 2025 sixth round pick that could become a fourth round pick pending playing time that he gets. It's a player that we've talked a lot about during this free agency period, Adam. And it's a player that we all quite admire, I think, and also want to see him play. I mean, what was your initial reaction to this trade to begin with?
That the Bears have ballsed it up again was my initial reaction to the trade. They've given him away for a bag of peanuts. I thought the Steelers have done really well with this trade. There's no way of getting around it. It's a very good trade for the Steelers. The Bears have screwed it up. They should have traded him before free agency started. That was where their ability was. They came out and said that they wanted to do a pro day, was it, at their place with Caleb Williams? So just to, because he didn't do a medical or do any of the combine, so they wanted to do that so they could be 100% sure on him, because for some reason they weren't 100% sure on him at the time. Now apparently they are 100% sure on him, despite the fact that that hasn't happened. And they've ballsed it up. So that was my initial thought. I think the Steelers have done really well to get a guy for next to nothing. I mean, it really is nothing. And you know, that quarterback room now, you've got two quarterbacks probably costing you, what, $5 million this year? The Vikings have just signed Sam Darnold to a one-year deal for $10 million. So I'd say you've done pretty well.
Well, that's what I was going to move on with, Johnny. I mean, last year, the Steelers quarterback room, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, all three of them not at the Steelers anymore, because as that happened with Justin Fields being traded to the Steelers, Kenny Pickett was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles as well. So we have a quarterback room in the Pittsburgh Steelers of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields now. Adam said the Steelers done really well. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I agree with Adam. I think the Steelers have got themselves, you know, two steals essentially in terms of.
Very funny. Very funny.
That wasn't even intentional. Adam's nice little joke there, but they obviously their room has massively improved. You know, perhaps, you know, obviously Justin Fields isn't, you know, the complete package yet. I think, unfortunately, he was set up to fail as soon as he, you know, was drafted by the Bears. You know, a poor team that's, you know, he did, you know, he's thrown straight in at the deep end. You know, was looking back at some of the tape of his first game where he was sacked 9 times by the Browns. They had such a poor team for, you know, a year, and he's coming into a franchise which has, you know, all the tools, I think, except for the quarterback. What happens this year, I don't know. Obviously, Wilson seems to be the all signs point towards him being the starter. But if, you know, obviously you don't want to say this, but if he, you know, gets injured or he's not playing too well, there's a real opportunity for Fields behind, you know, a decent line, maybe need to sort out, you know, a couple more weapons for him. But yeah, I think it's a much more stable environment because he's coming into, you know, a team that has been consistently successful without having that guy at quarterback. So yeah, real win for both the team and the player. Yeah, I think it's a perfect landing spot for Fields.
I would say the biggest fan of Justin Fields on this podcast is Andrew, given his Ohio State roots. How buzzed are you for him about this? Because you have never waived confidence in him at all at any point. I don't think you've always said that he is way better than people are giving him credit for. It's that this team is poor. It's not all the best fault. Yes, there is elements of his game that he can improve on, but the cream will rise to the top with Justin Fields eventually. Do you think we're going to see that now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of an odd one for me. Like you said, I do believe in him, and I think he has got the ability and attributes to become a very good player. I'm finding it a bit of an odd move for him, just on the fact that it is a defensive-minded head coach, and I thought maybe he'd want to land in a team that maybe had an offensive coach to develop him and move him to the next level. I know maybe we could say maybe Russell Wilson's there to mentor him and pull him on forwards, but it's a great opportunity for him. And I can't help but think that maybe he chose the Pittsburgh Steelers because I'm struggling to get on board with the concept of the Giants, the Seahawks, the Commanders didn't have a sixth round pick for Justin Fields. I mean, come on. So I think there might be something in there that the Bears have said to him, we're going to move on for you. We really like you. We weren't move on from you. Where do you want to go? And that kind of may be where this has come from. And he's picked to go there. So it's a really good opportunity, as we said, for them. And it's such great business from the Steelers in terms of the fact that if it wasn't working out quite quickly for Wilson, I think the fans would be on him, and you've now got a backup plan. I mean, you've got, like we've said from the start of this, you've gone from having three quarterbacks that were probably average backups to having a starter and probably the best backup in the league currently now. So that's great. And as Adam said, Omar Khan's just got Chicago's number, hasn't he? With the trade that he's made with Chicago. So, as I said, I think it's a great opportunity, but an odd choice, I believe, for him. I would have thought maybe he'd want to, you know, go and have a year with McVay or Shanahan or something like that as a backup, because this looks like a backup role to start off with. So if that was the case, then maybe you'd want to do a year with them and see if you could improve slightly, because I don't think Tomlin's going to help him in that aspect.
Like I said, Johnny, there was a bit of a fallout of this as well, and that's Kenny Pickett got traded to the Eagles. Now, I can't remember what they traded him for now off the top of my head. He goes to go and back up Jalen Hurts. Was he given an unfair shake in Pittsburgh, or do you think he should have been kept around, even though, you know, you'd have had Wilson, Fields and Pickett? Where does he, you know, where does he sit on that ladder? Probably at the bottom. And also in the max, it's sort of come out that he wasn't exactly graceful about going.
Yeah, I think there is. It sounds like there's a bit of bad blood. And I think the Steelers had to move on from, the old DC, obviously, you know, signing Wilson. That's the deal to trade Pickett came afterwards. But there's just something, I think, particularly in the last year, we know how inconsistent Pickett was. Obviously, you know, injuries haven't helped him, but I don't think he's made anywhere near the progress that the Steelers wanted. He was a bit of a gamble at the time, from what, you know, I can remember drafting him in the first round. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't compared. He was obviously the first quarterback selected that year, but, you know, wasn't a dead cert to translate into the NFL. A lot of noise around him. He's been unlucky, but I think the Steelers have made probably the business, the best business decision for them. For Kenny Pickett, it's just about staying in the league, I think, at this point, unfortunately. So, you know, to go to the Eagles where, you know, again, he may get a chance if he gets lucky and something happens. But unfortunately, I can't see him, being around for too much longer, I'm afraid. It's just, you know, hasn't quite clicked, unfortunately, his NFL career so far.
And of course, the door, Adam, as you referred earlier to, will swing wide open here for Caleb Williams, USC quarterback. But they, with the Chicago Bears having the number one pick, it is heavily, heavily, heavily rumoured and really mostly incredibly likely that they are going to take Williams, barring anything. I know it's hard to predict the NFL, but is this something that the Bears are going to look back on now and look with fondness that they've got into this position? Is it, you know, how are the optics going to look at this in 2 years' time? Because theoretically, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it could certainly happen that they're in the exact same situation in 3 years' time. It could happen.
Yeah, I mean, look at the 21 QB class. I mean, now you go through that and there was so much promise from that. I think that, there's Caleb Williams is clearly a very promising quarterback, and it would be almost shocking if he didn't excel in the NFL. That doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to be the best quarterback in the league, but it would be surprising if he didn't do very well for him. So I think in a couple of years' time, they will be probably feeling that they made the right move. I'd be surprised if they didn't, if for no other reason than it kind of resets the quarterback contract. It gives them more time,
more money as
well. Yeah, exactly, more money that they can spend at the moment for positions around him. So it kind of makes sense for them to be able to really go out and give themselves a good shot at it. I think the only thing that you can be concerned about personally, what I think, is that you've got a rookie quarterback going to a defensive head coach, and that is a concern, and we are starting to see that as an issue now. It's like that is starting to come up, and the problem is in 2 years' time he might have an OC, but the problem is if he does well, chances are that OC ain't going to be there in 2 years' time because he's going to have a head coaching job somewhere else, and that is an issue that may come up. And so I think that's the only real concern. I think for whatever reason, it just hasn't really worked out with Fields, has it? I think timing was a big issue. I think the previous GM kind of bungled it a little bit. That just didn't really work. That was the main issue for them, I feel. And Even going into this new one, I feel like there's the potential for it to go wrong again with the head coach who arguably could have got the sack at the end of last season. So there are issues there. It's not going to be plain sailing, I don't think. But I think in a couple of years' time, they'll probably look at it and go, we've got a better quarterback than what we had before.
You can argue that Williams is going to a situation that we don't usually see. You know, the first pick and the first quarterback usually goes to the worst team in the NFL. And this isn't the case this time. This isn't the Bears' first pick. This is the Panthers, who are the worst team probably, pick. So he's going to a situation where once Montez Sweat was there, didn't they have the last back end of the season? They had a winning record. Their defense was the top 10 defense. They've got... they've brought in Keenan Allen now, DJ Moore's there. DeAndre Swift was finished in the top five of the running backs, I think, as well. Their O-line was decent as well. So he's landing in a situation that isn't massively dysfunctional. They weren't the worst team. They're actually a good team. And I think he's got a chance in his first year, maybe get into the playoffs with this team. Because maybe you could say, Adam, you're probably one for this, that looking at the defense that the Bears have got, you could say they might have the best defense in their division.
Well, I mean, you're lying, but yeah, I mean, if you want to say it, you can, I suppose. How dare you come out and say such slander? No, I mean, in all seriousness, I think that the Packers defense is decent, but it wasn't the back end of last year, the Bears defense really turned up. And I think if they can continue that and improve that, then I think you'll probably see that they will have a very strong defense. Certainly better than the Lions defense last year that you could score quite easily over top of. And the Vikings defense wasn't much to talk about either. So I think because of that, they do have the potential certainly to be a very good defense. Like you say, got some great weapons. I don't think they've got a particularly great running back myself. I'm not overly sold on Swift, so I do think there's a weakness there. But you could go out and get yourself another one if they really wanted to. But I mean, I think they like the draft. They don't have loads of draft capital, I don't think, once you get past the first couple of rounds. So I think they just need to bring in the right players to improve them, and that might be enough, especially on the defense. But yeah, I mean, they've got every opportunity now.
I think ultimately it's such a better scenario, Williams coming in, than it was ever for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's I think ultimately why they've made, you know, I think it is the right call to move on from Fields. And I think the majority of people agree with that. It's, you know, starting afresh with such a better team around him is just going to, help the quarterback. And well, the Bells, I think, win sooner rather than later.
It'll be certainly interesting to see if the defense can beat everybody in the NFC North this year, as Andrew has now predicted or suggested, maybe, much to Adam's dismay. He doesn't seem very impressed.
I'm not falling for it. I'm not going to buy it. There you go.
Well, another team that has been seriously unimpressive during this free agency period is one America's team, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Very, very quiet in free agency. Obviously lost a few players to the cap, really. They are now in the cap. They've got $7 million to work with in the cap. They've only brought in Rico Dowdle. They re-signed him on a one-year deal. They brought Eric Kendricks from the Chargers, but Jordan Lewis, who I believe is going back there after being somewhere else on a one-year deal, and re-signed a free agent, Trent Sieg, I think he's a special teams player.
Long snapper.
Long snapper, so a special teams player. And then on their free agents, they've lost Dorrance Armstrong, Tyler Biadasz, Tony Pollard, Tyron Smith. Yes, they did re-sign Jordan Lewis. I didn't think he'd gone anywhere else. Now, Neville Gallimore, they've lost. Noah Igbinoghene, Dante Fowler as well, who's only on, a short-term deal anyway. Michael Gallup, has gone. Stephen Gilmore, Jaron Curse, Jonathan Hankins, Chuma Adoga has gone as well. They've really been very, very uninteresting, considering they're a team that most people find quite interesting. I think they're quite polarizing in that way of people either think they're great or really, really don't want to support them. And it's sort of a little bit on no one really sits on the fence, do they, Johnny? Everyone's either very anti-Cowboys or very pro-Cowboys, it always feels like. But they've been very late to the party.
Yeah, they have. I think every year we see Jerry Jones and, you know, he says something and you believe that the Cowboys are, well, I do anyway, I'm going to go and do something, but it never happens. But I think here they've lost players that obviously they're building up to save money for Dak. We'll come back to that later because I'm unfortunately, you know, very, very on the fence on Dak, but, you know, they're saving money for him, Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb, and they've lost quite bit players, and I think they're easily replaceable. So I'm actually not too, you know, they've been very inactive, and for a team that has Super Bowl ambitions, yes, they've got limited cap to work with. It's not what you want to see, but I don't think that, you know, the losses. You know, perhaps, you know, up front Tyron Smith, a good addition for the Jets. But they're starting center, perhaps. But I think they usually, you know, they usually can work around their offensive line. They have, I think, decent depth. So I'm not too worried about it in that sense. I think, you know, it's a team that finished the season so negatively. I think, obviously, a lot of fans wanted them to, you know, do something, I think, before the draft. Perhaps, you know, to continue that strain of thought. But, and it hasn't happened yet. So disappointing, but in my eyes, I don't think being all quiet is as negative as it looks. But we'll see, you know, what they do in the draft and where they go. Because, you know, there are possibly, you know, a few areas where they could go in the draft. So interested to see what they do.
We'll stick on the quarterback talk, I suppose, Andrew, because when I'm looking, I've been trying to get it so I can see the cap for this year and then the rolling years. So at the minute, the minute cap, Dak's cap hit for 2024 is $55.5 million. It goes down to $40.5 million in 2025. I believe then after that, it goes to $12 million in 2026, $1 million, $27 million, $28 million, which I'm sure it will get moved around, restructured, changed in places where it all gets loosened around. I mean, in fact, what year does this contract even go to?
Well, they need to make a decision this year on Dak, don't they? Because if they want to move some money for this year, because they haven't got enough, I believe Adam will be able to confirm this for me, they haven't got enough to sign all the rookies, have they? I don't think, if they want to do anything in that respect. So if they want to do anything or bring anybody in or even pick some people upon the waivers or whatever it is, they need to restructure Dak's contract. And in order to do that, they're going to have to say, do we want to buy into him for the future? And what that's going to do is move big chunks of money from this season for them. But next season, they're going to be in a bit of trouble. And then if it doesn't work out for the future for him, and like we said, they've got to sign CeeDee Lamb and Parsons as well. So the cap for them down the line is going to get worse. And like I say, do they want to buy in and say, yes, Dak is the guy for us for the next 3 or 4 years? Because that's what it's probably going to look at. And you saw last time when he had to re-sign a contract, he wanted no trade clauses. He wanted no tag clauses. He wanted to be the highest paid quarterback. And Jerry Jones has got a thing where it's really odd way to run a business. He drafts people in, he keeps them, and then he just pays all his own guys loads of money, and then they're just struggling and have to cut people that they could do with keeping. So yeah, we've seen this before where he overpaid Amari Cooper and Zeke and so on and so forth. So he's put himself in a bit of a tough situation going forward, which is where I am quite worried about them, because he said he was all in for 2024 in January, and then decided, let's just not have any running backs at all. So Adam, look like he's ready.
Because the all-in wasn't all-in, was it? It wasn't all-in as though we believe all-in to be. The all-in was that basically we're all-in on Dak and the players that we've got from last year for this year. So we're not going to go out and spend. I've never known them as big spenders. Like I don't really know them as big free agency spenders. They do a lot in the draft, and they do a lot, like you say, they sign their guys up, and that's what they do. They always have done. So I'm not really that shocked by it, to be honest.
Sorry to interject just a moment, just because I'm now understanding this table a little bit more of the salary. So he does become a free agent in 2025. They do have it. They can now have a potential out of this year, but it would be a dead cap hit of 66. Million, nearly 67 million. So yeah, he's a free agent in 2025. I mean, Adam, carry on with what you're saying, but then by that point, you're looking at paying CeeDee Lamb
and Parsons,
and he's yeah, you know, he's 32.
Yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? It's very difficult. I mean, they can afford to pay their rookies. They have got enough at the moment. I don't know what they've done, but they've obviously done something. The only two teams at the moment that can't are the Falcons and your Giants, Andrew. everyone else can afford to pay for their rookies at the moment that they draft. But yeah, it's It's really difficult. I'm not shocked that they haven't done much. I've never really thought of them as a team that really go out and do a lot in free agency, but they have got some really big contracts that they're going to have to pay for coming up. And so Parsons, you kind of feel like that's a given. And CD Lamb, you kind of feel like is a given. Now, Dak is...
Yeah, not only is it not a given, you're going to think that both... CD Lamb's going to want what Justin Jefferson's getting. So he's going to want to be the highest paid wide receiver.
Yeah.
And Parsons is going to want to be the highest paid edge rusher. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be in all sorts of bother. And I think they're...
And it's also as if Michael Parsons, he's technically free as of 2026. So is he going to be wanting it? He's going to want it sooner rather than later, isn't he, in a position like he is?
And isn't Lamb the same year?
No, yeah. Lamb's next year. Parsons is the year after.
So, yeah, it's really tough. I mean, there's a lot of big decisions that they've got to make. And it just feels like that Dak isn't the one out of the three. It feels like Dak is the one who doesn't get the deal because he's already had the deal and he's kind of hasn't really proven his worth in that respect. It's like at the end of the day, for a team like the Cowboys, getting in the playoffs and losing isn't enough, is it? You know, that's not the idea. That's not what Jerry Jones is after. So it kind of feels like why would you keep going down the same route in that respect?
I mean, when you look, I'm looking at the total contract, I suppose. So it sort of tells when it expires and stuff like that. But Dak at the mid contract terms, $160 million for 4 years, obviously expires in 2025. Trayvon Diggs, $97 million for 5 years, expires in 2029. Terrence Steele, the tackle, $82.5 million, 5 years, 2029. Michael Gallup, they've got rid of now, I believe. They've cut him early to save money. DeMarcus Lawrence, 3 years, $40 million, expires next year. Brandon Cooks, 2 year, $39 million, 2025 as well. Zach Martin, 2 year, coming up to $37 million, comes in next year. This could look like a really new team in a year's time, couldn't it?
Yeah, not only is it going to look like a new team, but in terms of when we've been talking about where their weaknesses have been in the past, when we said the O-line has struggled, you know, they're now moving their left guard to left tackle. They need to address that in the draft. And if that's the case, I've said they're one injury away on the O-line to not being able to perform for the season. I mean, touch wood, nothing happens. But looking at what they've got on that offense now, if anything happens to CD Lamb, can any of you see them being able to compete in any way, shape or form? Because outside of Lamb, they've got Jake Ferguson, who looks good. And that is it. And they've got that many holes that they need to address O-line and things in the draft. They can't get weapons. They can't afford to go out and get T. Higgins. They couldn't afford to join in the running back free agency. And I'm just worried. Well, I'm not worried because I hate the Cowboys, but I'm worried in terms of things that when you look at the fact that what the Commanders have got and how they're building and their cap space and going forward, they're going to be getting better. The Eagles and Howie seem to be able to just get better every year and move pieces and work things well. Will we see the Cowboys? I want to ask all of you, will we see the Cowboys slowly starting to slip behind these and not be able to build on 12-5 and maybe go regress and go the wrong way?
Personally, I think they'll probably carry on because I don't see... I reckon Lamb will just be all right. You know, this is the thing. But I do agree, if he wasn't, then it's serious problems sort of thing. The offense is basically back to Lamb. And, you know, they came out and said, didn't they, that they wanted to run the ball more. And I think they did run the ball more, but it didn't really do much. And they worked out that, you know, obviously Lamb was the reason that it worked and got them to the playoffs, and they did so well pretty quickly. So it's one of them things, isn't it, where it's almost like they're going to go and get running backs in the draft. That's feels like a given now. They need to go and get a wide receiver, I'd argue. But then, like you say, there's O-line. I mean, there's loads of issues here. I suppose you could argue that where a lot of these needs are, the draft is quite strong in them positions. So that might help them this year.
Well, what's their draft capital for this year? That'd be interesting to see. Let's have a look at that. I'll have a look at that, Johnny, while you give your opinion.
No, I was just going to say that I think the point about teams around them getting better, like, you know, the Commanders were, you know, a bit of a dumpster fire at points last season, but they've dominated free agency, really. And, you know, I suppose brought in, you know, a lot of veterans, but, you know, players like Frankie LeVou, obviously Austin Ekeler coming off a bad year. You know, they've really built themselves up to, you know, to add a quarterback in a good spot. So the Eagles as well, you know, the Giants have made a few moves. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult this year than it was last year, I think, for the Cowboys, because of their divisional rivals, you know, getting better. I'm not sure what the rest of their schedule's like, but I mean, you know, the Cowboys are always there and there. I think we'll always be there and thereabouts with Dak in terms of getting into the playoffs. It's just about finding that, you know, that next level. And, you know, at the moment, they can't do that because of constraints elsewhere.
You really think Dak's the one that takes them? Do you think Dak's the one that takes them? I know CeeDee Lamb's great, that is a little bit of whittling down the argument. Is Dak really all that worth it? I don't think when he got paid that much money, he was worth it in the first place. I think you can't argue he's decent, but could you argue everyone would look decent with CeeDee Lamb? It's the same with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. Will everyone look decent with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota? I mean, this year they've got the first round pick 24, second round, third round. They've got a compensatory fifth and sixth and 2 7th round picks. I think it has to make sense when they trade a big player. I think it has to make sense for them to trade down or trade a bigger player. Because wanted to get the picks to be able to fill the holes, like we were saying, and to sort of anticipate it. I think they move down. I think they would move down from 24 personally. I think they don't go far. But I think it has to make sense. It would be cheaper for them. They can maybe get something next year in the second round or even second round pick this year as well as maybe sticking in the first round area. They need more pick. They need to get cheaper. They absolutely have to get cheaper. And the only way they can do that is moving down draft picks, cutting people at the end of next year, and also maybe potentially trading one of their bigger players to get that money off the books eventually, and also to gain some draft capital to be able to strengthen. I have to say that is what they are good at. They do tend to draft really well. So I, as much as I would love the idea of this team just crumbling, because I'm not a huge Cowboys fan, to be honest with you, I can't see it happening because they are very good in the draft. And I don't think they are afraid to move big, to make big statement moves either. And I think they're pretty all in on Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb being the face of their franchises and not Dak, to be honest. So I don't think they do. The problem is they have not got better when everyone else around the league has got better with this free agency. They've probably been one team that hasn't. And that's where it gets difficult, isn't it? Because when everyone is, you know, when everyone's chomping at the bit and coming after you, that is when you're going to have the target on your back. And I think now the Cowboys are a team that has a target on the back because of their success of last year, and the season before they did pretty well as well. So I don't think they're going away, because I think they still draft so well and they're going to be able to get good players in there. But it's going to be really interesting to see where they sort of go from here, though.
If you were a QB needy team like that, the Vikings, would you be making calls to go for Dak? Because personally, I wouldn't. But
no, I don't think you would, because of the cost.
Yeah,
I think that would put most people off. It's just too much money.
Hmm. Well, if we look at this, if we look at the table, I mean, the only reason the teams at the top of the board, Commanders, the third pick in the draft, taking a quarterback. Second pick in the draft, taking a quarterback. Patriots, third pick in the draft, probably going to take a quarterback. Titans got their quarterback of the future in Will Levis, we feel like. The Chargers got Justin Herbert. Eagles got Jalen Hurts. Bengals got Joe Burrow. Cardinals, Kyler Murray. You could argue if you weren't totally in Kyler Murray, maybe, but I doubt it. Raiders, again, they've got quite a high draft pick. Do you really want to do that? They've got the money to be able to do it. The Bears definitely ain't going to do it. The Lions definitely ain't going to do it. The Packers definitely ain't going to do it. You again get to like the Rams. he's not going to go back up Matt Stafford, and Stafford's on a big contract. I think, well, Rams are at 23 mil at the minute, effective 19 mil cap space. So really, you're looking at the, I don't know how much the movement it would all be, but if it really, there's no market to trade for him. No market, I don't, in my eyes. Well, I say my eyes, and also with maybe my poor maths as well. I'm sure if we've actually sat down and moved some numbers around and actually looked at effective space and who would take on this, that, and the other, that would be a lot more fun to see. And we are nearing the end of our fantastic show this evening. We've spent quite a lot of time with the Cowboys. We've spent a fair bit of time. So we'll talk about something a little bit like, and that's today's announcement of Receiver, the new Netflix show that is coming out very soon. It's going to have stars in it such as Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Justin Jefferson. I mean, the quarterback series. Did you guys watch the quarterback series on Netflix with Marcus Mariota, Patrick Mahomes, and Kirk Cousins? How did you guys find it?
I really enjoyed it. Thought it was great. Really gave it, I think it got more fans on board. I think there's a lot of some of my friends that don't even watch American football tuned in and watched it and went, oh, I really like Kirk Cousins. I'm going to start following the Vikings maybe this year. Or, you know, that Mahomes comes across really well. He comes across better than some of the other athletes in other sports. And it's really brought on some more fans. And I think the program is excellent. And I think it just shows how big of a beast the NFL is as an organization, and how much further along the line it is than most of the sports. I mean, things like the NBA and things like that are just falling along the wayside, and baseball and American football's become the beast, and it's going to be college football next that comes in and sits in second place, I think. So it's fantastic for it. It grows it. It gets more fans. It gets people to follow the players. So I think they're fantastic, and they're shot really well as well. So I really enjoy them as documentaries.
I've now got the full list up. It's Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Debo Samuel, Amon-Ra St. Brown, George Kittle, all starring on the show. Obviously, two players from the same team, Johnny. There has been a little bit of pushback on that, but you know, it's a bit 49ers-centric, I suppose.
I think it's more about the characters. I think
Kittle is definitely a character. I'd say exactly.
But you know, I mean, a lot of those players compared to the quarterbacks. I know we had Mariota, or Cousins, maybe not because he was a fifth round pick. Or was it even later? But what I'm trying to say is these are players who, I, you know, someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was drafted fourth or fifth round, Kittle, somewhat similar. Obviously, Jefferson was a first rounder. But I don't think Devontae Adams or Debo were first rounders.
I'm pretty sure Debo was a third rounder.
Yeah, possibly, you know, third rounder. So these are players who, you know, they have had to work hard to make it in this league, and these are, you know, real beast like characters in terms of I think how they play, how they put everything out on the field. I'm looking forward to getting a bit of a deep dive into, you know, these sort of players, particularly someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I think it's been, you know, quite well documented about his his rise, how angry I suppose he was at being whatever number receiver he was taken, and how dominant he's become. He's probably one of the top three wide receivers in the league at the moment. Just looking forward to finding out a bit more about players that probably aren't as well known as some of the quarterbacks.
What I quite like, Adam, taking out George Kittle, Adams, Jefferson, Samuel, St. Brown are also, they are actually all so different in their style of play. And it'd be so cool to see that. Any, is there a name in there you would have liked to have seen maybe put in there?
No, not really. I think you've got the main guys, haven't you? I suppose Chase is missing out of the main lot, you could argue. But, I mean, you've got, what, is Lamb in it?
No.
Okay, well, CeeDee Lamb, I suppose, would have been one that would have been worth seeing. It kind of feels like it's a lot of the top guys, though, isn't it? I mean, it's a decent selection of them. So, no, I don't think there's any, apart from, you know, like Lamb and Chase, but I don't know. I think you've got a decent selection there.
What I think I would have maybe have liked, which we sort of got that dynamic accidentally, I suppose, in quarterbacks. Well, the fans like us knew sort of what was going to happen and probably could tell you what was going to happen with that situation. But there's no one really here who's like a top number two challenging to be the number one. That would have been really interesting to see that dynamic in a franchise, or maybe someone who's been at a place all the time and he's had someone drafted over him, you know, to become the number one, I suppose. That would have been really fun to have seen. Just before we go, a big free agency thing. Jimmy Garoppolo's just signed a one-year deal to the LA Rams. So there was a little bit of free agency news in this episode, but nothing that interesting. Andrew, Johnny, Adam, thank you again for joining me. Thank you guys for watching and listening, and we'll see you all again very soon. Going to be a lot more draft focus in the next coming weeks. So, you know, if you don't really watch college football or stuff like that, or you're not so much into the draft, maybe watch, because it's definitely something that we talk about passionately and it's a lot of fun and we have a lot of knowledge. So until then, we'll see you all soon and maybe take a look at some of the college stuff before we get there. See you soon.